From the field to the film room to the war room, we've got you covered every step of the way as the road to the draft starts right now. Welcome to the Chalkboard, my fellow football nerds, for episode number 154 of Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Shane Half, and you can follow me on Twitter and YouTube at Shane Half NFL. I'm joined today by the best co-host in the game. You've heard him on the Tough Cover radio show. It is Mark Henry Jr. Give him a follow on Twitter at Mark Henry Jr. _. Mark, how are you doing tonight?
Doing well. I always love doing these mock draft shows where we play GM for like 10 teams. I sit around and make these psychotic big boards. So now I at least have a little bit of an idea when I'm criticizing people on draft day. It's like, well, here's what I would have done. So I always love doing this.
All right. I am also joined by my co-host and fellow draft enthusiast Dives. Give him a follow on Twitter at Mr. Crockpot. Be sure to check out his podcast, Party On Broad. Dives, how are you doing today?
Doing good, man. 10 days, roughly, something along those lines. I've been covering this all year long. I'm already 11 prospects deep into 2025. So we are putting a bow on this thing, and I'm so excited to hang out with you guys and butcher this thing. You guys are way more tapped in with the rest of the NFL, but I'm going to do my best. I'm going to put one half forward. I'm going to crush this thing. Go Birds.
Got a comment coming in here from Twitter from Eagles Eric asking about our draft beards. You know, we talk a lot about draft boards. We need to start talking about draft beards. We need to raise awareness. Draft boards, draft beards. I like it.
That sounds like a hashtag to me.
Draft beards. I like it. Yeah. So we are going to jump into this first round mock draft. We're going to be drafting for each team. There's going to be, it's sort of a mesh up between what would we do with a little bit of realism tagged in along the way. So we'll try to balance that as we go. We are allowing trades for this first round mock draft, although we're going to try to keep those reasonable as well and not be trading every pick. And so we divided these teams up. It basically just goes 1, 2, 3, and then it repeats, with the exception of it was ordered to where if like a team like Chicago that has more than one pick, the same person will make every pick for that team. That is me in this case. I have the Chicago Bears. And so they're on the clock at number one overall. And there's just no doubt where this pick's going to go whatsoever. Assuming they stick and pick and don't, you know, do something trading down to number two. This pick's Caleb Williams. It should be Caleb Williams. He's consensus QB1. I know there's some people that don't like some things about Caleb Williams, but he's the best prospect in this draft. And so the Chicago Bears are going to sprint. Actually, they're not going to sprint that card in. They're going to take 9.5 minutes of their 10-minute pick timer for some reason and pretend they don't know what's going on. But eventually, they're going to select Caleb Williams at number one. And so that's going to put Mark on the clock at number two with the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, and this is a surprising thing for me. So I'm treating this mock as if what I would do. I've been given the general manager keys for 10 teams. Pretty bizarre decision by 10 teams to share a GM. You know, you could argue whether or not that's a smart decision, but it seems like after listening to, I was watching a draft special today with Schefter on it. Also listened to Move the Sticks with Jeremiah today. And it seems like it's almost written in stone that this pick is going to be Jaden Daniels, but I'm changing the pick. I'm scribbling out the name on the draft card that's going up. I think this pick needs to be Drake May. And, you know, us as Eagles fans, I think we'd all be very happy to see them mess this up and not take Drake May, which I think says a lot about the pick. And I'm not saying that I don't like Jaden Daniels. I have Jaden Daniels as a top six prospect on my big board. I think that his upside is undeniable. He had an incredible season last year. Now, there are some concerns with him throwing across the middle. And I think the biggest thing for me, and I could give you a whole litany of reasons on why I like Drake May over Jaden Daniels. I know something I've talked about a lot on this podcast is specifically the way that Jaden Daniels gets hit is concerning to me. Lamar Jackson doesn't take hits like that. The whole thing with Lamar, people always are nervous about his durability. And that obviously with the way he plays, that's not a crazy thing to be nervous about. But he never got hit in the same way as that. And Eagles Eric is bringing up the main point, though. If Drake May got to play 5 years in college, what would Drake May's stats in his fifth year would have looked like? Like, Drake May is obviously a more raw prospect. He's 2-3 years younger. He had 2 years less college experience. Well, 3 years less college experience because he sat his first year in college behind Sam Howell. But I think you could make a case that Drake May's first year was, you know, as impressive on tape as Jaden Daniels' Heisman year. So I think Drake May is the slam dunk number two pick. And I think this is a classic case of kind of the draft process playing tricks on people a little bit.
All right. So Drake May is the pick here at number two for the Commanders. And now we will go to Dibes, the man, the myth, the legend, according to Facebook here. And Dibes, you are on the clock for the New England Patriots. So which way are you going to go here?
Ring, 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 ring.
I was just about to say, we are taking phone calls. We got one team up here. We've got another team that I'm hearing some voices over here that may or may not be controlled by me as well. But we are listening to phone offers. Hi, Mark. What's up?
I'm offering. I'm GM of the Minnesota Vikings as well as other teams. But right now, I'm the Vikings GM. And I'm willing to give up 11, 23, and our 2025 first-round pick to move up to the number three pick here.
11, 23 for the third pick. Was there anything else in that as well?
Yeah, next year's first round pick.
That is really good. That's some juicy.
I don't know if Shane can top that with any of his teams. I know, you know, the Giants might be interested. The
Broncos have been really looking to move up as well. All right, so 11, 23 in a future first.
The thing is, if that offer is on the table from the Vikings, nobody can beat it.
Mm-hmm. And I think it should be, by the way, honestly.
Yeah, it probably should be. I don't think it is, though, because if it was, the deal would have already been done. So I think the Vikings are trying to play this, trying to slow play this and see if they can get it a little cheaper.
Can you go to the Denver Broncos just so I can get a picture of what that might look like?
Yeah, I guess a little bit of a slight problem on this app is that you can't take like 2026 picks on PFF, which is probably what it would be. But
lock it in, Mark. You've got yourself a deal, brother.
All right.
All right. We got Danny Savage, Draft Guru on Twitter or on YouTube, saying that you should definitely take that trade.
Yeah, so to be honest, like the Patriots would probably have to give back like a third there, maybe a next year second. But I'm the GM of 10 teams.
I can't be concerned about that's outside the purview of a first round mock draft. So ballparking it, it's three first to get up to number three. And that puts the Vikings on the clock here for Mark. Mark, I'm assuming you gave all that to go get Brock Bowers.
Of course. No, it's got to be Jaden Daniels. Got to be Jaden Daniels, who I obviously have as my QB3. But PFF has him ranked like somewhere in the teens or early 20s, and that's absurd. I mean, this guy should be a slam dunk, a top three pick. And earlier on in the process, by the way, I actually don't think New England should trade it no matter what. I actually think New England should stick at three no matter what, but it seems like they're listening to offers. It seems like they are. I think it's just so hard to find that franchise QB, and you have to take that swing when it's there. And I think if you're Minnesota, that's why I think you should offer all of that to move up and lock that in. So Jaden Daniels, obviously the running, the big arm, everything that you saw in 2023. I mean, your Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. both put up some pretty incredible stats. They're both going to go very high in the draft. A lot of that was facilitated by Jaden Daniels. And I think that the top three picks should be quarterbacks earlier on in the process. I was wrestling with maybe New England should take Marvin Harrison Jr. instead of a quarterback. I think at this point, the top three picks should absolutely just be the top three quarterbacks, no matter who's selecting in those slots.
All right. So that puts me on the clock here at number four is Arizona. Now, Arizona would certainly be willing to listen to calls from somebody the Giants or other teams that want to come up and get JJ McCarthy. However, knowing what I know about how you guys feel about McCarthy, I'm assuming no teams are going to make that call. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. So in that case, the Cardinals could go some different ways here. They could use an edge rusher. You know, Jonathan Gannon rose to prominence with the Eagles a couple of years ago with a ridiculously talented defensive line. He does not have that in Arizona. They could use some defensive back help. I mean, they signed Sean Murphy Bunting, but they're still very thin in the secondary. But I would like to play a game called Name Receivers Employed by the Arizona Cardinals. anybody know some?
Nope.
Michael Wilson.
Michael Wilson's one. He's their wide receiver one.
I know they traded Rondale.
Yeah, Rondale's gone.
Hmm. That might be all I got. There's another young one that's I can't pull the name.
Greg Dortch.
Yeah, Greg Dortch. I couldn't. Yeah, I don't. I couldn't tell you another one though.
Zach Pascal.
I wouldn't have got that.
Those are their receivers. So they're gonna go with in the absence of teams making a call up here. They're going to go make the no-brainer pick. They're going to go take Marvin Harrison Jr. They're going to pair him up with Kyler Murray, and they're going to figure out the rest of it later. So Marvin Harrison Jr. off the board here to the Arizona Cardinals at number four. That brings the Chargers up, and Mark, you're on the clock for the Chargers.
And it's funny, this is another team that people think will be listening to trade offers. I feel extremely passionately. I meant to kind of put this all in one take. The number three, four, five picks all seem to be for sale to different degrees with New England, Arizona, and the Chargers. I don't think any of them should be for sale. I think New England should take the third quarterback. I think Arizona should take Marvin Harrison Jr. And I think the Chargers should take the best available wide receiver, which Eagles Eric thinks is Malik Nabers. I very much disagree with that. I think there's a pretty wide gap between Romo Odunze and Malik Nabers. In my opinion, there's a wider gap between Odunze and Nabers than there is between MHJ and Odunze. So Romo Odunze is my number four overall prospect from Washington. He's the second best receiver prospect that I've evaluated in the last 5 or 6 years. So I'm extremely high on him. And obviously he played in a high-powered offense with Michael Penix, with Jalen McMillan, with Jalen Polk. But, I mean, you watch those games, he was the guy that was jumping off the screen as the best player on the field, no matter who they were playing against. And it was the reason that I said going into the college football playoff that they were going to beat Texas and that he was going to be the best player on the field in either game of the college football playoff. And Romo Odunze should definitely be the pick here at number five. And honestly, there's talk that the Chargers could take an offensive tackle or an offensive lineman. I think this has to be a wide receiver at number five.
But wide receivers don't run the football, Mark. And that's what Harbaugh wants to do.
It is going to be really interesting to see if Jim Harbaugh's, if Jim Harbaugh's retro mentality works in 2024. It worked in college football. I know that, but he's got Justin Herbert. Like, he's got a really good quarterback. Like, you don't have JJ McCarthy in college where you're going to have a game where you throw four times. Like, it'll be really interesting to see if that works. Joe, they're saying the Chargers will take Joe Walt. That's certainly possible. I just think that they have absolutely nothing at the wide receiver position, and they have an all pro at left tackle, and they have a guy who graded out as an average tackle on the other side last year. So I think at that point, you literally don't have a receiver on the roster that I think is worth anything. So I really think they need to add some sort of playmaker, or else the Justin Herbert truthers are going to continue to have excuses year after year.
All right. That puts you on the clock, Dibes, at pick six for the New York Giants. What are you doing here?
Yeah, New York Giants are kind of in a weird spot. Like, do the Giants take one of the top receivers on the board? Do they look to replace, Daniels? I don't know. But we're a little upset because we did want Romo Odunze. But at the end of the day, we're okay accepting Malik Nabers to be the prototypical kind of wide receiver one for the New York Giants going forward. This guy has elite, after the catch ability, legit speed to be a guy that takes the top off of defense. So I think his change of direction ability, his ability to get into space, will be a really good fit with an offense that gets the ball out fast. So give me Malik Nabers to the New York Giants.
All right. So Malik Nabers comes off the board to the Giants at pick six. That puts me on the clock at seven with the Tennessee Titans. The Titans, they want to build around Will Levis and see what they have in Levis. And they made a strong move that direction this offseason when they signed Calvin Ridley to pair with DeAndre Hopkins and former first round pick Treylon Burks, who hasn't necessarily panned out, but as a wide receiver three, you know, maybe he can get that back on track. The thing that they need desperately is offensive linemen. The Titans got offensive lineman Peter Skoronski last year, good first round pick. They went and they got Lloyd Cushenberry to be their center in free agency. They need help at tackle. And fortunately for them, the best tackle in the draft just fell to them in Joe Alt. And so the Titans are taking Joe Alt. They're not even listening to trade up offers. Joe Alt's the pick. The Titans would rejoice if that came to fruition. So let's That's go great. To a couple great. Comments here before we get to the Falcons pick. Anthony on Facebook says the Giants need everything. If I was the Giants, I would trade the pick for more picks because they need help everywhere. Got another comment coming in here. Imagine if the Falcons go Bowers at eight here. You could have some epic 12 personnel, Kyle Pitts and Brock Bowers. Oh, that's you, Mark. I was about to start throwing your comments up on the screen. Yeah, no, I see that now. Cushenberry, isn't he a key in Pele character? He is not. So
you ever see those skits, by the way? They
absolutely.
Are
so absolutely. They are
all right. So you guys keep those comments coming. Always enjoy interacting with you guys. But now we are on to pick number eight, the Atlanta Falcons. They've got their quarterback in Kirk Cousins. Mark, which way are the Falcons going here?
Yeah, I think the Falcons have two real needs, and it's edge and wide receiver. The top three receivers are off the board here. The edge class, it feels like it's almost a bit of a reach to take one at eight. But I think in this situation, they would have to if they can't find a trade down. I don't know if there's anyone looking to move up maybe for JJ, but if not, I'll probably settle and I'll take my number one edge rusher and I'll take Laiatu Latu from UCLA, who obviously has medical red flags, but I'm going to pretend that my medical staff cleared him. So I'm going to go ahead and take him here at number eight, because if we're basing it just on play on the field, then Latu is a clear top 10 pick, and especially for a team that's been desperate for an edge rusher since John Abraham left. So they really, really need help in terms of pass rushing. If they could get a legitimate pass rusher in terms of a rookie taking them in the first round, and you could figure out maybe in the second round or maybe on day two, another receiver to add to that receiving core. I mean, this is a Falcons team that I think can compete to win a Super Bowl.
Eagles fans are very upset with that selection.
Yeah, yes, I know.
All right. So that brings us to pick nine. It's the Chicago Bears. I don't know if anyone is interested in trading up to number nine with the Bears. Eagles Eric certainly thinks that would be a good idea here on Twitter. Do any of your team or any of your teams calling for the Bears pick here?
The Broncos are going to trade up with the Bears. Let's make a deal, Shane.
Okay, I'm listening.
All right, can we go to the thing? All right, so I guess 76.
Yeah, I don't think that's enough. It stinks that they don't have a second round pick, because that's probably trying to think what would the price be to go from 12 to 9. So if you're looking at a trade value chart, that's about 150 points. Pick 76. Oh, actually, pick seven. It shows that that's about right. I don't know. What do you think here, Mark?
I was thinking of next year's second.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do that. Dives okay. Next year's second instead of this year's third.
Sounds Someone's good. Saying, why would the Broncos trade up? But the Patriots are picking at 11 now. They traded yeah. back.
So and then the Jets are looking for a quarterback, too.
Yeah. Maybe. All right. So we will do that deal. That's going to be pick 12 and a second rounder next year. Go to the Bears for pick 9. And that'll put the Broncos up on the clock here.
This is my draft. And the Broncos are kind of inept at times. So they're going to make the shocking move of the draft. It's not J.J. McCarthy. We're going to go Michael Penix. And it's going to be kind of the talking point for the draft at this point. Michael Penix, I've been a big fan of. I still believe he will be selected in the first round. He's got an unbelievable arm talent. He can make all the throws. Needs to be better against pressure. He's an older prospect. He's got an injury history. But I think Michael Penix is a solid prospect in his own right. And this is going to be kind of the talking point of the draft. So give me Michael Penix over JJ, who I do not like.
Broncos fans should riot if they trade up for Michael Penix.
I do think Penix ends up going in the first.
I do too, but I don't think you got to trade into the top 10 for him.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, this is what they were doing. We're the GMs here. I like doing it this way as opposed to guessing what teams will do, because I think that's a fool's errand generally, unless you're doing it as a one-man 32 team. So I like a little different flair based on our big boards.
Yeah. Okay, so that puts the Jets on the clock, and Dibes, you're actually also the Jets. So where are you headed here?
Yeah, there's a lot of different routes the Jets could go. They could trade down and accumulate some prospects. But yeah, I think this one's a no-brainer. The Jets need depth on the offensive line, and I'm staring at one that is, I think, a blue chip player. And Olufoshinu, he didn't get selected, right?
No. Correct.
So give me Olufoshinu, who just when it comes to football IQ, when it comes to upside, he's got it all. Didn't test as well as I thought he would. Joel really took that one away as OT1, but Foshinu is an elite prospect, and I think Jets fans will be happy.
All right, let's go to a couple comments here, and then the Patriots will be back on the clock. Had a comment saying the Broncos would not need to, or would not trade up. They don't need to. The thing is, if there's other quarterback needy teams like the Raiders, like the Patriots, you can't just say, well, the team that's up, the Bears aren't going to take another quarterback, so we'll just wait because the Bears are shopping the pick. So it's not always just about what the team on the clock needs. It's about any other team that wants to move up as well. The Pats at 11 is from a previous trade here. Says the Broncos are moving out of Denver after that sequence. Should have taken JJ McCarthy. Then we've got a Jedi mind trick attempt here from John on Twitter. The Falcons do not want Leatu Latu.
It seems like it's going to be Dallas Turner, to be honest, from a real life perspective. It seems like they love Turner, but I prefer Latu to Turner. I wouldn't hate the Turner pick, though. I have Turner one slot behind Latu.
Yeah. All right. So that puts you on the clock. I think you're the Patriots, right, Mark?
No, that's Dibes.
Yep. Oh, Dibes up again. Dibes for the third time in a row here.
Yeah, we're going to take a play. I think we're a little bit lower consensus wise for us, but it's a huge need for them. It's not going to be quarterback. We're going to look at the wide receiver position, and we're going to look at Brian Thomas Jr. To the New England Patriots here. Another kind of shocking selection. If we were watching this during the draft party, but the New England Patriots select a need here. They don't buy the rest of the quarterbacks here in the first round, and they go wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr.
All right, so that puts the Bears on the clock, and the Bears, you know, I've talked about the Bears. Well, I didn't really talk about them too much because it was sprint the card in for Caleb Williams, but they could use wide receiver help. I mean, they traded for Keenan Allen to pair with DJ Moore, but he's 32 years old, and so you could try to give Caleb Williams another good wide receiver. Unfortunately, the last receiver I got a first round grade on just went off the board. And honestly, that's a little higher than I probably would have wanted to take him here anyways. But the other big need for them is offensive line. You know, they could use a left tackle to pair with Darnell Wright. And you have J.C. Latham on the board. Now, J.C. Latham played right tackle, not left tackle. But I think you just figure it out. And I'm not sure that Darnell Wright was so good. You don't move him, but I'm going to not worry too much about the side fit there and just take JC Latham out of Alabama and they can figure that out in camp. So JC Latham comes off the board here to the Chicago Bears.
And I have a feeling I know where Shane's going to go here.
And the Raiders are on the clock. Let me see here. Let me think about it for a half a second. The Raiders have Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell as their quarterbacks, and that is not where you want to be as a franchise. They're in a poor position to trade up for one of the top four with teams ahead of them. And Denver that needs a quarterback and some of these other teams. But if one falls, that's the move. And so if J.J. McCarthy is there, the Raiders would sprint that pick up to the podium. And so that's what we're going to do here. They're going to take J.J. McCarthy, quarterback, out of Michigan. He just wins games, guys. He just wins games.
Oh, the J.J. McCarthy discourse, like, it actually, like, makes me turn podcasts off. Like, I'll be listening to something, and then it's like J.J. comes up, and I'm just like, oh, man, like, I don't even want to, like, I don't want to relitigate the J.J. McCarthy thing for the 25th time. I obviously don't. I don't think there's ever been a quarterback that's been given more credit for the things that they didn't have to do than J.J. McCarthy. It's interesting the way he's evaluated. But hey, he just win, baby. So it seems like he's going to go top five. So it's absolutely wild. And I don't think it will be looked upon favorably in the future.
All right. So that puts the Saints on the clock. Mark, that is you. What do you have the Saints doing here?
I think that the Saints are doing absolute, you know, jumping jacks and, you know, jumping for joy in their draft room, because I think they got their top need. They desperately need an offensive tackle. Was it the pick that we traded them that they moved up to get Trevor Penning a yep. couple of years ago? And then he couldn't stop fighting people in practice and he can't block anybody. So the Saints really, really need an offensive tackle to slot in there for the future. And I'm going with Taliese Fuaga from Oregon State. I feel like I hear a different pronunciation of that name every time I hear the name. So I'm going to go with the one I've been hearing. But he's a guy who just absolutely mauls people in the run game. And I think that he's a better pass blocker than I think some are giving credit for. To me, he's very easily my offensive tackle three. I know a lot of people out there love J.C. Latham, love Amarius Mims, love other guys that I'm not mentioning. For me, I think Fuaga is closer to the Alt Fashanu class than the, you know, Latham, Mims, Fountainu class. So I don't know if that's consensus with the NFL. I'll be really interested to see where Fuaga lands. But I think he's almost a lock to be a really, really solid starter at the next level.
I just want to point out that we're through 14 picks of the draft here, and there has been one defensive player off the board.
Wow.
Leautu Latu. So, and while I don't know that you'll get through 14 with only one defensive player come draft night, because I do think Terrion Arnold and Quinyon Mitchell are going to be in play near the top of boards, I do expect it to be a really offensive heavy, especially first half of the first round.
And no one's even taking Bowers. Like, we're through 14 picks.
I could very realistically see a Bowers slide, though. I could see that happening very easily. Like, I've mentioned on a show before that, like, I would love it if the Eagles got Bowers and people are like, there's no way he's going to be there. I wouldn't be so sure. Maybe not all the way to 22, but I think Bowers into the late teens is very realistic. And moving up a couple picks, if that's who you really wanted from 22 to 18 or something, that's not going to cost you much. So I think it's very possible that Bowers does end up in the Eagles range.
I would have thought you were crazy a week or two ago, but we talked about it on Twitter a bit with someone. I think Anthony was tweeting at us, and I kind of mentioned that going through team needs, which I did for all 32 teams, there's not a ton of teams who I would rank tight end in their top three or four needs. It's just not a glaring need for a whole ton of teams. I would say that I think Bowers has like a dream landing spot to the Jets at 10. But if he slides past the Jets at 10, 15 might be the first time you could hear his name after that.
Yeah, and I have heard the Colts linked to him. There's no way Bowers is going in the late second round unless a video of him in a gas mask surfaces right before the draft.
You think Georgia Peach, Howie Roseman would let Brock Bowers slide past 22? You kidding me?
No.
Austin on YouTube asks if Brock Bowers can play right guard. And Eric says the Colts aren't letting Bowers get by. So we will see. I have heard him linked there a whole lot. Dibes, you are the Colts in this exercise. Which way, where are you leaning here?
It's not Bowers. We're going to take the second defensive player off the board here in this draft, and it's going to be Terrion Arnold to the Indianapolis Colts. Okay. The Colts really need secondary help. They are bottom tier when it comes to stopping the pass, especially towards the end of the season. Terrion Arnold is 1A versus Quinyon Mitchell 1B, depending who you talk to. But for me, he's the best of the best here at the position. Terrion Arnold is a physical tackler. He's great in coverage. He kind of gives you a little bit of everything. Has also great production and great tape. Arnold to the Colts.
All right, that puts the Seahawks on the clock here. And this is a poor draft for Seattle because Seattle is deepest at wide receiver and cornerback, which is where the draft is also really deep. Like, they could get a really good cornerback here. They don't need one. That's a position they're deep at after they took Devon Witherspoon last year. Where they are weak at is safety and linebacker, and there aren't really first-round prospects at those positions. And so you could say interior offensive line is a need. They could use a pass rusher. They would certainly be open to somebody trading up here if anybody is interested in trading up. But I don't know if there's a team that is. And if not, I think the pick is probably Jared Verse. You going pass rusher is probably the way for them to go here. I'm not sure that I would love an interior offensive line pick at this spot for them. And so Jared Verse is going to come off the board here to the Seattle Seahawks. Give Mike McDonald a new toy to play with. And that gets it over to the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is Mark in this exercise. So Mark, which way are the Jags leaning?
Yeah, this is a really, really tough decision here because I have two players who are ranked right next to each other in my big board. And the Jags have two needs that I think stand above everything else. And you could argue receivers should be in there too. They signed Gabe Davis. They at least have like three guys with Gabe Davis, Kirk, and Zay Jones. They probably don't have the guy. I don't even know if you're finding that here at 17, though. So I think your two top needs are cornerback and edge. You could debate which one is a bigger need. With edge, you have Josh Allen, who you just paid a whole ton of money to. And you have Trayvon Walker. Trayvon Walker was ranked 99th of 112 in edge rushers by PFF last year. And not a lot else. They just added Eric Armstead. But if you're going to pay Eric Armstead what you paid him, and you're going to pay Josh Allen what you paid him, you probably should, you know, solidify that defensive line with another edge rusher. But then a corner, you've got Darby, you've got Tyson Campbell. Not a lot there at cornerback. So I'm going to actually go with a corner, even though I think the general consensus out there is that they'll probably go with an edge rusher. Trent Baalke loves taking edge rushers. But I'm going
to
go with
the corner. He's also terrible at taking him. That's why he keeps needing to take him.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. But I'm going to go at 17 and take Cooper DeJean. Cooper DeJean is just a guy who I'm extremely bullish on playing cornerback at the next level. And that would be what this pick would mean for Jacksonville, because they don't really have the need at safety. But he's just a guy who I think can be used as a Swiss Army knife in a whole ton of ways if you don't just want to place him as an outside corner. And he tested incredibly well right after coming off of a major injury. And it seems like he's, you know, regained all that speed, explosiveness, and athleticism. And his ball skills are incredible. I am all in on Cooper DeJean. This pick would upset me if he got this close to 22 and went off the board, because he is my dream Eagle.
Yeah. All right. That puts the Cincinnati Bengals on the clock at 18. Dibes, that is you. And the Philadelphia Eagles are on the phone. They would be very interested in trading up into this spot.
We are very interested, because the guy that we're looking at, I don't think is on your guys' radars. So we are very interested in trading back.
All right. Shoot. They don't have a third round pick to offer. let's see, 22 and 20 is 22 and 53 for 18 and 80. That's in the ballpark for that trade. That seem about right, Mark?
Yeah.
All right, 22 and 53 for 18 and 80.
Let me put it in the calculator.
All right, so that's moving up three spots in the first round and then moving back 27 spots from mid-second to early third round.
That's fairly... Why would Bengals trade back? They want Latham. Latham's gone.
Yeah, Latham went off the board at...
I got the Bengals, and I have a player that I think is still going to be on the board. So I am comfortable making that trade, Shane. It's pretty even when it comes to the calculator.
All right, so that trade is done. The Eagles are going to take Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo. He is my CB1 in the draft, and you got to get in front of teams like the Rams, like the Steelers who are coming up that need a cornerback. If he's falling here, I would absolutely make that move up to go get him. And so Quinyon Mitchell to the Eagles gives that young defensive back piece that you can finally put outside, a guy that you can get opposite Darius Slay and just let the kid play 1,000 snaps this year and trial by fire. He's a fierce competitor. He's going to do better than James Bradbury did last year. So Quinyon Mitchell, 18 to the Eagles after a small trade up. And that puts the Los Angeles Rams on the clock. And that's also me. So the Rams are on the clock here. Let's see. This is the first rounder they've had since Jared Goff, right? 2016, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, wow. So historic moment. Aaron Donald retires, and the Rams finally get a first-round pick again. So Aaron Donald retired. They have Byron Young and Kobe Turner, who appear to be hits on the interior, but you can never have too many pass rushers. They could look at pass rusher. They could look at defensive back. That was a need. That's one of the reasons the Eagles were on the phone here. You could look at developmental quarterback, although I don't think you want to necessarily get into that game at this point. You could look at offensive line. The Rams paid Jonah Jackson and Kevin Dotson to flank Steve Avila on the interior, but they need an offensive tackle. Ulrich Jackson's a free agent after next season. Rob Havenstein is 31 years old. And so this is a place that you could really use an offensive tackle to build for the future. Who's the Rams tight end? Is it still Higbee?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's also intriguing.
I think that's intriguing, yeah, for sure.
That's more than intriguing. That's going to be the pick. I was about to take Amarius Mims and say you can bet on the athletic upside. He doesn't necessarily have to start this year. He can be a foundational piece, but I don't see how you can pass on Brock Bowers falling this far. So Brock Bowers would be my pick here for the Los Angeles Rams. Brock Bowers, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, Kyren Williams. That's a really fun skill position group, and I think you could see the Rams make some noise this year with that.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree, and I think that'd be a great pick there for the Rams if he fell all that far. But the Steelers are happy that you made that pick and didn't take the guy you said you were going to take, because that's who the Steelers are going to come back and take here at 20. It feels like they always need a tackle. They really need a receiver, but I don't think 20 is the place to get it done, and maybe they would want to move back. But Amarius Mims is just such a monster of a man. I think he's, well, you know, there's not a ton of tape out there, obviously. Didn't start a ton of games, but the tape that is out there didn't allow a sack or a quarterback hit across 402 pass blocking snaps, allowed six pressures. I mean, the tape that is out there on his pass blocking is just pretty immaculate. So I think the traits, the pass blocking, I'm willing to bet on it. I'm really high on Mims. And the closer we get to the draft, the more I think maybe I'm not even high enough, to be honest.
All right. Amarius Mims comes off the board at 20. That gets us to the Miami Dolphins at 21. And making that selection is Dives. Dives, you've got back-to-back picks here for Miami and Cincinnati. Actually, three in a row because you have New England too, don't you?
Oh, snap. I do. That's fun.
So right. I'm going to get a drink and I'm just going to listen to you do your thing now.
Yeah, the Minnesota trade really took me out of this thing.
The Miami Dolphins are on the clock. I mean, the Brock Bowers pick was very solid by you. But the biggest need they have is protecting Tua. The offensive line, the pass rush, the pass block win rate was awful on the Dolphins last year. When Tua was pressured, his numbers were god-awful. And they're going to take pound for pound one of the best offensive linemen in this draft. And that is Jackson Powers Johnson here to the Dolphins. And I think this is a really home run selection for the Dolphins. Moving forward, the Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock. And I traded back for the purpose of getting this guy. And it's not Johnny Newton. We're talking Byron Murphy to the Bengals. And I'm happy to make that selection. Byron Murphy is a three-down defensive tackle. He's a guy that is incredibly strong, great pass rusher, such a great prospect. And then with the New England
Ring?
I'm listening. Sure. New England training back again? What do you
nah, this is the, is Bill Belichick back in charge? I don't know what's going on here, but the Detroit Lions are interested in moving up.
Oh, really?
They are. There's a player that's there that they can't believe is there.
Can I look at the big board real quick?
Yeah, for sure.
I just need some time. But I think
Wow, I did not realize Peyton Wilson was 30th on PFF's board. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's too high.
Can you scroll up? Yeah, we're going BPA here, and it might not be the biggest need for the New England Patriots, but I have him rated really high. We're going Dallas Turner, edge rusher, to the Patriots. Elite length, great athlete. We're going to figure it out. He's got some things to work on. He's raw, but it's just too much to pass on. So Dallas Turner to the Patriots.
Judging by Mark's reaction, that is where the Lions were headed.
I wish I had teams who needed edge rushers more. I probably should have just taken him at 17 when I was thinking about it. But yeah, I love Turner. This is a crazy slide for Turner. I think he's going to go 8th. So I think he's an absolute beast. That's who the Lions were trying to trade up for 100%.
You know what's funny is I said Dibes had 3 in a row, but Dibes also has the Cowboys. So Dibes actually has 4 picks in a row here by virtue of the trade back. So Dives, you're on the clock here for a Cowboys team who, according to PFF, needs absolutely everything because they didn't sign anyone in free agency. They need running back, wide receiver, tackle, center, defensive line, linebacker, cornerback, a new GM, a new owner. Dives, where are you headed here at 24 with the Cowboys?
I don't know. I'm going to have to look at this board. I mean, they could go wide receiver to give CeeDee Lamb a friend there. I mean, Xavier Worthy just screams like Dallas Cowboy, and I'm not a big fan of Xavier Worthy, but that's just me. Can I get the offensive tackles listed, please? Give me Jordan Morgan to the Dallas Cowboys. Good pass protector. It's a very meh draft selection. Maybe they should have traded back. But Jordan Morgan to the Dallas Cowboys, because I think Tyler Guyton's a bit of a raw developmental prospect. Morgan, I think, can step in and give some results, but there it is.
All right, so that puts me on the clock at 25 for the Green Bay Packers. The Packers, I mean, they don't really need anything, right? They made the divisional round, and they only have 4 players on their roster over the age of 28. Which is just an incredible spot to be at. Like, you could make an argument for a receiver, but unless you're getting one of the big 3 receivers, you've got like young receivers that just need playing time. Are you really going to draft a receiver better here? You could talk about defensive line maybe a little bit. And you've got Johnny Newton who's sliding here, and but the edge rushers, which is where I'm a little more interested in, those are gone here at the top. And I'm not the biggest Chop Robinson guy. They could use linebacker. All right, but there's not necessarily a great linebacker spot here. But they could use offensive tackle. And Troy Fontenot is on the board here. And so Troy Fontenot is going to be the pick for the Packers, a trench pick here. And I mean, I just think that's smart. When you don't have a big need, go get an athletic offensive tackle and you can figure out the rest here. So Troy Fontenot to the Packers at 25.
That is definitely who the last two picks are, who the Tampa Bay Bucks would have taken. Would have been Fontenot or Morgan, both off the board. So they're going to have to go and take a receiver, I think. The Bucks really need an interior offensive line. I actually would have been taking Fontenot to be an interior offensive lineman there. But with the Bucks, I know they just signed Mike Evans. Chris Godwin and Mike Evans are not getting any younger. So I think the Bucks can go out and take a shot, and my shot would be at Xavier Leggett. Xavier Leggett's a guy who is my wide receiver four. This is probably a little rich for where he will go. I think he'll probably be more of a top half of the second round guy. But if I had my druthers, he would be a first round pick over even guys I like. I like Troy Franklin a lot. I like Xavier Worthy a lot. A.D. Mitchell, there's obvious upside. There's more names that you could throw out, but Xavier Leggett is definitely one of my guys.
All right. Yeah, he is a big Mark's guy here. And you've talked me into him. Like I was scared off by Treylon Burks, but at the end of the day, I just love this style of receiver. And I hope this one works out. So that puts the Arizona Cardinals on the clock. The Arizona Cardinals have already made the selection of Marvin Harrison Jr. It is time to turn to the defensive side of the ball, where you can basically go cornerback or you can go defensive line. And Jerzan Newton is sitting here falling down draft boards, and Jonathan Gannon's going to go get him an interior pass rusher in Johnny Newton. I love this fit. I think you could play him as more of a, I think you could play him as more of a D end in that 3-4 scheme, that odd front scheme. And I think that would suit him really well. It would prevent him from being, you know, taking on as many double teams on the interior running game. I really like that fit. I like the player, Johnny Newton to the Cardinals. And that puts the Buffalo Bills on the clock. And that is you, Dibes.
This one's hard. So we're looking at definitely upgrading the wide receiver position for the Buffalo Bills. You look at Diggs gone, Gabe Davis gone, right? So I think there's a lot of talk here. I mean, we could possibly trade back given how many quality receivers are still on the board. A.D. Mitchell is a great prospect. You have Keon Coleman who's still available. Troy Franklin, I absolutely love. Could they go for the home run swing in Keon Coleman? I think we're going to go A.D. Mitchell here for the Bills. Just too much pass, too much speed and upside to pass on. So A.D. Mitchell to the Bills.
All right. That puts the Detroit Lions on the clock. They tried unsuccessfully to trade up for Dallas Turner earlier. Mark, where are the Lions going to go at 29?
Yeah, for the Lions' needs, I have edge, cornerback, safety, linebacker listed. So basically defense. I mean, they made the NFC Championship game last year, so you can't say too much. But I think that they have needs all over their defense. Did Brian Thomas Jr. get drafted? Yes. He got drafted, I think, 11th. The Lions are taking a look at the big board here, and I think it has to be someone in the secondary, no one at the edge position that you're going to bring in. I think you guys have Edgerrin Cooper ranked as fringe first-round guy. He's a little bit more solidly a second-round pick for me, even though he's my LB1, so I don't think linebacker is a real option. So it's got to be a secondary guy. I'm going to go with Nate Wiggins, a guy who's got experience on the outside and in the slot. And it'll be interesting to see. They have a lot of pieces in that secondary with Brian Branch, who kind of moves around, a couple safety pieces. But I think they kind of need a guy to lock in on the outside corner slot. And I think Nate Wiggins could absolutely be that.
All right. Dibes, that puts you on the clock for the Baltimore Ravens here.
I'm looking at O-line. Can you put up O-line for me, please?
All O-line?
Yeah, it'd be great. All right. I love Graham Barton, but I'm going to go with a tackle. Give me Tyler Guyton here to the Baltimore Ravens, a guy the Ravens can develop. The Ravens always love to kind of look at the trenches. You know, Guyton has immense athleticism, immense upside, can kind of be that right tackle for the Ravens going forward and maybe move the left down the road. Probably not, but Tyler Guyton to the Ravens.
All right. That puts the 49ers on the clock at pick 31. And the 49ers are a team that feels on the precipice. Brandon Ayuk has appeared to have asked for a trade. I think that's been walked back a little bit, but things are clearly going to come to a head there with Deebo Samuel's contract and Brandon Ayuk needing a contract. So you could look at wide receiver, pending what happens with Ayuk. Now, it's not really a need if you keep Brandon Ayuk for this season, but it's something to bear in mind. You also can look at their offensive line, where their right guard, John Feliciano, their center, Jake Brindle, and their left tackle, Trent Williams, are all in their 30s. And then the two guys that aren't in their 30s, Colton McKivitz and Aaron Banks, both struggled a lot last year, right? And so you could look there. You could also look at cornerback, where the 49ers have not used a top 100 pick on a cornerback in 7 years. And so with Kool-Aid McKinstry and Graham Barton both on the board, I think the 49ers should be thrilled to take either one of these guys. Barton could potentially play any offensive line position for you, although he's probably going to be an interior guy. But that's fine because, as I mentioned, their offensive line's just not good, and it's old. And then in Kool-Aid McKinstry, you get the last Nick Saban cornerback, essentially. And that would be a great place to spend a pick. At the end of the day, I'm going to go with Kool-Aid McKinstry here at cornerback. And they'll probably hope to pick up some line help later on. Again, this one's a coin flip. I really like both of these guys. I think both of them would be great fits, but I'll go McKinstry here. Mark, is that the right call, or would you go Graham Barton?
It's actually funny. Like Kool-Aid, I think I'm way higher on Kool-Aid than I think consensus, and I'm actually a little bit lower on Barton than consensus. I do think Barton's an interesting piece for them because, like you said, that all those old pieces all over their line, I'm not as sure Barton isn't a tackle. I think there's a chance he could play tackle at the next level. So I think he'd be an interesting piece for San Fran, at least for this year, to be almost kind of a move piece or around that O-line. But Kool-Aid's a better prospect, in my opinion. So I kind of struggle answering that. I agree. When you were going over that, I was confused as well as what I would do.
That's the most conflicted I've been on a pick in this entire mock draft.
That was like me at the Jags with 17 with Gene or Turner. I really didn't know which way to go there. But here with the Chiefs at 32, I'm kind of in a similar spot. I think in terms of, I know sub 33 arms for Barton. He's not a prototypical offensive tackle. I agree with that. And it's why I'm kind of lower on him, because I think you're projecting him to be an interior alignment. We haven't seen it yet. But he wasn't a terrible tackle at the college level. So I'm just not going to totally write off his chances to be that. We have seen guys with short arms succeed at tackle, but it is obviously an anomaly. With the Chiefs, though, speaking of tackle, this is not a guy with short arms who I'm thinking about, but I'll just talk it out since I'm the last pick of the first round here. The Chiefs have two very specific needs, in my opinion, and it's tackle and wide receiver. I think you have to take one of them coming out of this draft. So I'm one of my absolute guys, maybe my number one, my guy in the entire draft is Patrick Paul. An offensive tackle from Houston. He's a guy I definitely consider at this pick. Now, PFF has him ranked like 101st. It's absurd. I think he's going to go high in the second round. The traits that he has, I think the NFL teams will end up falling for. But there's so many offensive linemen in this class that I'm actually going to lean towards taking a receiver. Not that there's a ton of those. There's a ton of those as well. But I'm going to go with the receiver here for Kansas City. And I would probably I agree the Chiefs need a corner, but I don't think it's as pressing of a need as receiver and tackle if you go through their kind of PFF grades at the position last year. But receiver, offensive tackle, I'm going with receiver. I would probably go Troy Franklin, but Patrick Mahomes was tweeting a lot during the NFL scouting combine about someone who was running very fast. So I'm going to go ahead and take Xavier Worthy because I actually think that's like what they're going to do. Maybe that's stupid, but Mahomes tweeting so much about Worthy, and I think that there was something about them working out together or something. I could totally see the Chiefs being like, oh, you like this guy, Patrick? We'll absolutely do whatever you want. So I could see Worthy being a Kansas City Chief. And if that happens, Xavier Worthy will probably be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I guess that's just like how it goes.
Yeah, yeah. If you're a wide receiver, you just want to fall to the Chiefs because they have nothing. So having a wide receiver would be, although I do think it's funny, people are like, the Chiefs have to take a receiver. Like the year after they just proved to us, we can win a Super Bowl with zero competent receivers because Travis Kelce wakes up in January. But yeah, that'd be a slam dunk pick. You'll get all the comparisons to Tyreek Hill, and I don't know, you'll probably go win another Super Bowl because it's the Chiefs, and that seems to be the new dynasty. But there you have it, guys. That is our first round mock draft. Guys, any kind of final thoughts about how this shook out? Anything that surprised you?
Happy with the Eagles selection. Really happy how the way that played out with Quinn Young.
Yeah.
I'm very curious in general. I think like something that the most under-talked about position in this class is the edge rushing position, because I think all three of those guys will go in the first round with Latu, Turner, and Verse. I have no idea where. I think Turner's going to go eighth, personally. I have no idea. Latu, you could tell me, ends up going really high, and we're like, oh, the medical's checked out. Or you could tell me he slides and goes like 32 to the Chiefs, and we're all like, what the heck? Like, I could absolutely see Verse going really high or sliding. It's really going to be interesting to see where those guys go. In this version, Dallas Turner took a tumble.
Yeah.
I think that Latu is going to go. I don't think Latu is going to fall personally. I know he's been on the top 30 visits with several teams drafting high. And presumably, if you're going to spend a visit on a guy, you would have already cleared him medically. Because if you didn't clear him medically, he wouldn't be on your board. It's not like, okay, we'll take him in the second round if he's there, I don't think. Like, I think if you're going to invest a visit there. So I personally think that Latu is going to go top 12 to 14, but okay. I could be totally reading that wrong.
I'm curious if there's a sneaky run on edge rushers in the mid to late first round, because there is such a drop off in later rounds when it comes to the position. There is no depth at the edge rusher spot. So guys like Chris Broswell, Darius Robinson, Chop Robinson, could they be sneaky back end of round one selections? That's where I'm watching.
That's almost an interesting, just an overall kind of point where it's like receivers so deep, offensive line so deep, edge is pretty shallow. Like, yeah. Does that push edge rushers, even that top three up? Like, does that push edge rushers up? Does that maybe force receivers to drop a little bit, like a Brian Thomas or whoever goes later of Odunze or Neighbors? It'll be interesting to see if the depth of positions has an impact on the first round, or if teams are just kind of going to go with the player they like the most in the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, there you have it. That is our full first round mock draft. If you guys have been following along with our draft coverage all off season, we really appreciate you. We've been through position rankings for each position of the NFL draft. So you can go back and check any of those out on the Chalk Talk feed. If you have missed any of them, of course, they're all there. If you want to go, hear more about some of these players, I've been putting out scouting reports for my top 50. Dibes has tons of stuff out there about his guys. But I also just want to share with you guys our draft board. And I messed up and unshared my screen, so stand by. We have our official Edge of Philly Sports draft guide. You can go check this out. We've tweeted out links to it. It has our top 100 players for Mark Dives, myself. It also has David and Ryan. If you listen to Birds of the Roundtable, the show right before this, we're all on that show together. It's got consensus big boards. It's got relative athletic scores. It's got Mark's player comps. You can filter it by position, by college, by whatever you want to. But you will have to make a copy of it to be able to use those filters. But be sure you guys check that out, and be sure you join us for the Edge of Philly Sports watch party. We will be live during the first and second day of the draft. talking through all the picks, it will not be Eagles centric. We're going to not, I mean, we're going to talk about the Eagles, but we're not just going to be talking about the Eagles, you know, 10 picks before the rep. We're going to be analyzing each team sort of like we did tonight. So be sure you check out that draft guide and join us for that live draft party next week. We will have one more show on Chalk Talk before the draft. We're going to be doing our annual My Guys episode, where we go through and look at guys that one of us is just significantly higher on than anybody else. And we're going to talk about why and defend why we like those players. It's one of our favorite shows of the year. So be sure you check us out next Tuesday night. We'll be going live sometime around 9 o'clock. Before we get out of here, guys, do either of you have anything you want to plug? Anything like that?
No, Tough Cover Radio Show every Saturday.
All right. Be sure you check out the Tough Cover Radio Show. Be sure you check out Dives Podcasts, Party on Broad. Check out all of his great draft work as well. So thank you guys for joining us for episode number 154 of Chalk Talk. If you enjoy what you heard on the show, and we know that you do, be sure you smash that subscribe button and turn on notifications so you don't miss our next episode. Drop us a 5-star rating and review wherever you stream your podcast. To everyone watching live and commenting, thank you guys for showing up. We always enjoy interacting with you guys. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at Shane Half NFL. Mark is at Mark Henry Jr. Dibes is at Mr. Crockpot. And we will catch you guys next time.